Today on Movie Wallahs, we review Spectre, the new James Bond film, and the Peanuts movie. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Yay!
Woo! 300!
That's right.
Not the movie. The episode.
Well, that could be the movie. I like that movie a lot.
Don't sully it. Don't sully our podcast by mention of the 300.
That was a good movie.
That was a great movie.
Well,
but not as good as the 300th episode.
Yes. Can't believe it. Here we are.
300. That's incredible, guys.
That means that there's about 100 hours of Movie Wallahs out there, or more.
Yeah.
In the ether.
And more than 300 hours of our life.
That's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
That is. And nobody listening.
I know.
Well, that's kind of like my life. I talk a lot, nobody listens. No, but I think that's quite something.
It's a serious body of work.
It is, and to just, I think, not that we stumbled upon it, but it's good that we are here. I wouldn't have thought even at the start that we'll be at 300.
No, me neither.
Yeah, now I'm pretty sure we'll be at 500.
I reckon 1,000.
Oh, God.
So how long did it take us? It took us five years. Because we're cranking out. Well, I thought we were doing about 50 episodes a year, because it's supposed to be weekly, but we make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
So plenty of Movie Wallahs to come. We're still going strong. I think we have more momentum now than ever.
Yeah.
So
and I enjoy it more.
I do. And to our listeners, there's nothing we would like more than to get your feedback.
Yes. Interact with us.
Let us know what's not working. What is working? What's fun? What's
Let us know like. If you're listening. Yes. Let us know if you're not listening.
Yeah.
But no, congratulations to us. Yay,
yes,
this is fun.
Yes. And so, to the next 300 at least.
Hopefully you enjoy listening as much as we love doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a bit of a curfew today, so we're going to try and crank out our two reviews pretty quickly because we're off to see who?
David Sedaris.
I don't know who that is. I know, it's horrible.
I know, I don't either.
All excited about it.
No, I don't know who it is. I was excited that we're going because we're going with our friends.
David Sedaris is a brilliant writer. He's written many, many books of short stories, books of full novels, and he's a memoirist. He talks about his life growing up in North Carolina, I believe, and he speaks all the time on NPR, and he has a very biting humor to him. And
I love him.
I think what separates him from everybody else is that there's a lot of darkness to almost everything, like brutal, depressive, I'm going to kill myself kind of darkness. But at the same time, he's very funny and he talks about his life and he has a way with words.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So that's our evening tonight, which is why we're trying to cram our podcast in. But despite this being a slightly rushed episode, we still wanted to do our relatively recent addition to the podcast, which is, I can't find anything to watch on Netflix.
And we did have some feedback that people liked that section.
Yeah, so yes. We're just... You know, all of us, I think, have a couple of hundred movies in our Netflix queue, and we're trying to address this idea that there's nothing to watch or that Netflix is some dumping ground for bad movies, because we think it is absolutely not.
Yes.
So...
Yes, you go first, quick.
What's your pick of the week?
Kick us off.
Continuing with my recommendations of foreign films, my recommendation for this episode is a French movie. It's actually a French-Canadian movie called... J'ai tué ma mère. I killed my mother.
Oh, wow.
And it is...
J'ai tué ma mère. That's how.
J'ai tué ma mère. Okay.
Blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't have you butcher the language that badly.
thank you. I appreciate you jumping in. This is an hour and a half of intensity. This is.
It sounds it.
So everybody remember this name because you're going to be hearing his name a lot. His name is Xavier Dolan. Xavier Dolan. He's about 23 right now, and he's already written, directed, and acted in 5 movies.
What?
Wow.
This was the first movie he made. He's French-Canadian. He was about 17 years old. I saw this movie at the Toronto Film Festival. He was 17. He bankrolled his mom's credit card, his friend's credit cards, and made this movie. He was on the Cannes committee last year. He was one of the judges on the Cannes committee. Marion Cotillard and Cate Blanchett are in his next movie. So he's since then continuously been writing and directing movies. He's not even 25 yet. And you watch this movie and you realize right away this is a person with cinema all over him. He's obsessed with cinema. It's a story. It's very autobiographical. It's a story about a teenager growing up in a small town, a teenager who intensely loves and hates his mother. And it's just about his life. It's about him and his mother just going at each other. And it's intense and it's visceral and it's beautiful.
Sound familiar?
Added to queue.
I killed my mother.
Okay, my own. I tried to think of features, but I think I'm going to be the documentary person on the show. So I found another one which I love, which is called Good Old Frida. This is about a lady called Frida Kelly, who was the founder of the Beatles fan club. And the description goes like this. She was on the ground floor with the band that changed pop music. They couldn't have done it without her. So she was really singly responsible for really managing the fan club and the huge logistical nightmare that became. Brilliant, brilliant documentary about a really simple woman. And it's hard to think when you're watching this that this woman was literally in amongst something that changed history in the long run. So brilliant, brilliant documentary. Good Old Frida with a great soundtrack, as you can imagine.
Terrific.
Joe?
And my pick of the week is a movie called The In-Betweeners. Now, The In-Betweeners is based on a horrible TV show. and I say horrible because I think unless you grew up and came of age in Britain in the kind of 80s and 90s, you will have a hard time relating to what this is. It's basically some boys who start off, they're around kind of university age, and it really is just a portrait of what my life was like with my friends, all the sadness and chaos and ridiculousness that we got up to. So if you're a bit of an Anglophile, I think you might get a kick out of this. I will not universally recommend this movie. It's sexist, vulgar, rude, offensive in every which way possible, and I love it. And the reason I recommend it is the sequel, In-Betweeners 2, has just popped up on Netflix as well. So Rashmi, we're going to be watching that over Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So j'ai tué ma mère, Good Old Frida, and The In-Betweeners. Picks of the week. Plenty more. Go look on Netflix. We are not paid by them, but we think that there's a lot of value there.
Yes.
All right. So we have two movies to talk about this week. James
Bond.
Two
heroes. Spectre. Charlie Brown and James Bond.
That's right. The name is Brown. Charlie Brown. Oh, no. I've got the movies mixed up. So where should we go first? James Bond?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so Spectre is the latest entry in a series that needs no introduction to the James Bond 007 franchise. It's Daniel Craig's, I think, fourth appearance as James Bond, and I haven't seen this movie yet, but I'm always excited when a new Bond movie comes out. This one, like the last three movies, I think, have been directed by Sam Mendes, or maybe the last two. I know he did Skyfall, which was very well received. And this movie really needs no introduction, but the blurb on the website says that a cryptic message from Bond's past sends him on a trail to uncover a sinister organization. While M battles political forces to keep the Secret Service alive, Bond peels back the layers of deceit to reveal the terrible truth behind Spectre. So I am itching to see this one, and I think it's kind of review proof for me, because I think scores have been middling. I've heard one person talk about it at work who said it sucked. So super interested to hear what you guys thought.
Rashmi.
Oh, what a disappointment.
Damn.
I'm so sad for this movie. It's joyless and dull and frankly all a lot of boring twaddle, from the boring Sam Smith song at the beginning to the dull and predictable climax. I was really disappointed.
Yes, Dee.
I liked it.
Yay!
I really liked it. And you know, when the first review started coming out, I was like, really? I don't understand why there's so much negative, and maybe you can give your input. But I had a good time, and I'll completely give you that lead song by Sam Smith is awful. I mean, it's so dour. But the movie's actually fun. I thought it was kind of... See, listen, at this point, they've run out of plot. There's only so much plot new plot that you can generate. And it all comes down to ticking clocks and time bombs going off. And, you know, it even borrows heavily from Batman at one point. One of the plot points is reminiscent of. So the plot is just a mess, but it's just a bunch of excellent action scenes stacked together. And, you know, you have to grant that the one which opens the movie is brilliant. It appears like a single take or a single shot, whatever the right terminology is. But it appears like a single one shot entirely in Mexico City. It's quite remarkable.
So I agree with you, Yazzie. That opening scene is absolutely breathtaking. But it never materializes into anything no. worthy to hang on to at the end. And for me, you're right, Yazdi. It's just action. It's action with no story. And yeah. so it comes across being very convoluted and overcooked and really just one long infomercial for Omega and for Aston Martin and other expensive brands.
Talking Quantum of Solace bad?
No.
No.
Thank
no.
you. Okay. No. Because that's the one, that's what I'm most afraid of.
I think this might be... After Casino Royale, this might be my second. See, unlike most people, I did not love Skyfall. So for me, Casino Royale in the Daniel Craig,
yeah.
I would put Casino Royale first, followed by Spectre, followed by Skyfall, followed by Quantum Solace.
Yeah, and I would just swap the second two. So I like yeah. Skyfall more than Spectre. I mean, I think the other issue I have, Yazdi, is that this year, we've been delighted by such good mm-hmm. spy movies like Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible 5, Rogue Nation, even
Kingsman,
even Bridge of Spies.
And Spy,
and
let's
spy.
Not forget
and
Spy.
And Spy, yeah. So there have been some really good spy movies. Now, granted, you know, five of the ones that we've just named are more comedy-orientated or more humorous. The issue I have is, come on, smile, Daniel Craig. You're James Bond. The guy does not crack one smile, maybe half of a smile, three quarters of the way through the movie. It's all so serious.
But one of the reasons I think this franchise has done well is it was the kind of serious reboot of the James Bond. So, you know, it did for James Bond what Jason Bourne, you know, it made... There's been comparisons
made
between...
Yeah, made him very cool.
Right, Casino Royale was brilliant because for the first time ever, we saw James Bond getting hurt, right?
It's the Christopher Nolanization of
it
Bond.
It is, I know. But,
I hate that.
But this franchise and Craig has led the most successful... has had probably the most successful run of any of the James Bond mm-hmm. actors. And I think, you know, part of that is, you know, the gritty, serious... nature that he brings to the character. So do you want that Roger Moore smarminess?
No, I don't want Roger Moore smarminess.
You want a bit more fun?
I do want the Roger Moore smarminess.
I actually like Roger Moore. I didn't like Timothy Dalton. I think the issue becomes... Or Pierce Brosnan. He was probably the other really smarmy one. I think the issue becomes that Daniel Craig is great to look at on the screen, and clearly the camera loves him. And he's a very cool Bond. But there's no joy.
Yeah.
It's just lacking joy, and there's no heart. The issue about James Bond was he was always kind of like a bit of a rogue, but he was kind of clever and sassy.
And yeah.
There's no sass. There's just no joy. I think that really sums it up for me.
It's not tongue-in-cheek at all? Because
No.
I read a review of
there's
it that
no
suggests that
no
there was
cheek.
A little bit of a nudge and a wink behind this particular Mendes-Craig
It's more sexy. He is has that, a lot more sexy time than I've seen in any other
really?
One.
Really? I mean, that was my complaint, is it's sexless. It's very lame. They're like two kisses which last 30 seconds each.
With different women.
With two different women, but
he's
that's
not done
about,
that before.
So
there's no
it's a male-female perspective.
There is no skin at all.
Rashmi Fakir kissed two women. That's too much sex. I'm not approved.
No, I wouldn't mind a bit of naked Daniel Craig on screen, which we haven't had since Casino Royale.
But it seemed very tame and on that
it's
front.
It's just dull. It's really dull.
What?
And Christoph Waltz. Poor guy. I think the only person who can direct Christoph Waltz is Quentin Tarantino. Poor guy. He is the same actor otherwise. He's the same person in every other movie.
And I think the other thing the movie tries, and I think is not as successful, is it tries to kind of reach back, like while it's facing the front, it's trying to reach back into, you know, the whole mythology of Bond and the previous villains and so forth. And it's not very successful. It's kind of trying to get to the origin of Bond and Bond's parents. And even the villain has some backstory to previous villains we've known.
I hated that aspect of Skyfall where, you know, they go back home.
And it's... If it works, it's fine. But I think they're deliberately kind of not all out because that would be kind of silly. But it's neither here nor there. The one thing I did like is, you know, Bond movies, and in general, a lot of these action blockbusters have always had, and I've said this the same thing about Mission Impossible, they've always had that 16-year-old skinny supermodel as you know, the female interest. But in this movie, both of the female interests, they have some meat to their bones, and they're like,
and they're beautiful.
They're beautiful, and they're real breathing women.
Yeah.
And you know, they have lines on their face, and they look gorgeous. I mean, Lea Seydoux,
she's amazing.
Like you know, Princess, like Grace of
Princess Grace of Monaco.
She's always wearing these summer clothes, flowing summer clothes. So I like that it's kind of very classy and classic from the female perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. I'll give you that. She's good. I think the other issue I had with the movie, Yazdi, was the music told us exactly where we were going.
Yeah, it does blare a lot.
It's really blurry and
very
really
long.
Obvious.
2.5 hours.
Yeah,
two and a half hours.
I was just thinking, come on. Anyway, let's wrap this one.
And, you know, honestly, I mean, please, I want to find out who tailors Daniel Craig's suits.
I thought they were a little snug for
They're
him.
They're very
though.
Snug.
I did think, yes, he's going to like the pants.
They're really good. No, it's not. I mean, they're
are
really...
Are we talking moose knuckle tight? Or
No.
But they're very snug.
But they're so fitted. And, you know, he, like, gets off the train and then the next...
Jumps off a wall
and his suit is changed. Like, where are all these... perfectly fitted suits packed, you know, I mean, does he send them a FedEx afterwards? I mean, he, you know, his suits are impeccable.
Oh, his clothing is gorgeous.
I'd love to pay a lot of money to get one of those suits made for me, the way they fit Daniel Craig. They'll never fit me like that.
Apparently.
So, anyway.
All right, wrap it up, guys.
Okay, so I would say watch Casino Royale again if you want to watch Bond, or watch one of the other movies I mentioned at the beginning, you know, Mission Impossible 5, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Spy, Bridge of Spies. I was looking for a spectacle, and all I got was to be a boring spectator. So I'm going to give this one 5 out of 10.
Ouch. All right, Yazdi.
You know, why do you go to Bond movies? You go to Bond movies to have fun, to watch things blow up, to watch Bond do silly things. And all of those things happen in the movie. Did not care for Christoph Waltz at all. I mean, he is at risk of becoming a caricature of himself. You know, he should just stop doing this now. You know, his den even looks like the Apple Store. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's... Yeah. So the plot, they could have done better. But I'm going to miss Daniel Craig. I don't think he's going to do another... James Bond movie,
more.
Or maybe he'll do one more, but I liked it. I really liked it. Somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
Wow.
Yeah. 7 out of 10. And I wouldn't mind watching this again at all. It's fun. For all its faults.
I don't even know if I could watch it with you again, Joe.
Well,
like,
I'm going
to
go watch it anyway.
Like, I might have to watch something different, right? I mean, that's the test of a Bond movie for me. Like, could I watch it again? I don't know if I want to.
All right. Yeah, the weight of expectations, I think, it always hurts these movies to some extent, but every now and then you get blown away. So, all right. Let's move on. Movie number two of the week is The Peanuts Movie.
Okay, so Snoopy embarks upon his greatest mission as he and his team take to the skies to pursue their arch nemesis, whilst his best pal, Charlie Brown, begins his own epic quest back home. So this is directed by Steve Martino, and it's written by a number of the Schultzes, and it's got a lot of young kids who are playing all of the actors who are so beloved to us. So I love Charlie Brown going up. Yazdi and Joe, did this delight you? Or upset you?
Neither. It's very serviceable. It's cute. I had a smile on my face. I love Snoopy to death. We all grew up with the Peanuts.
Yeah.
I think the miracle of Peanuts is that it's actually very dark material for a comic book. I mean, there's the Peanuts, you know, the comic book has a lot of content. It's about depression. It's about obsession. You know, all of the characters,
fitting
even though
in.
They're little kids, it's about fitting in. It's about jealousy. It's about, you know, all of these things. So it's actually pretty dark. And to bring it to the screen is kind of difficult without losing the kids, which is their intended population. So it's quite a tightrope to walk. Considering all of those things, I think it's a reasonable movie, although I think if Charles Schulz were alive today, he would not approve. It just tips over a little bit too much on the commercial end of things.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm not really well qualified to talk about Peanuts as a franchise. I didn't have anything against it as a kid. I just didn't particularly tune into it as a kid. So, you know, as a comic strip or as a TV show, you know, this was never one that kind of clicked with me. And I sort of felt the same way about this movie. I think, you know, in the moment, it's very adequate entertainment. I think it's beautifully respectful of the visual style of the original comics, you know, from what I know about them. I think, you know, just the way that it portrays the characters and some of the, you know, the visual styles, the dogfighting kennel and all of that kind of stuff. It was good, but it was all, you know, just very pedestrian for me. And I think, again, I'm not tuned into this universe, so a lot of the movie ended up feeling very random. I think there's a lot there for fans, but the whole kind of, you know, the whole Red Baron storyline was the whole time through, I was just like, what the hell is going on here? It's like, did I just drop some acid?
In fact, you asked me as and we
I
walked out.
To,
yeah.
I said to Rushman on the way out, what the hell was that about? So, you know, I'll say it's respectful and beautiful, but, you know, nothing to write home about.
So I'm in the fan category. So right from the 20th Fox logo with Schroeder playing his piano to when the final credits run, this movie is just adorable. I literally had tears in my eyes as those front credits are rolling. And I just love Charlie Brown and Snoopy. So, you know, I love the fact that within the first 5 minutes of the movie, we're introduced to all our favorite friends again. It's like a reunion. I mean, what's not to love? I wanted to hug them all. I wanted to hug you guys. I was so happy. And I love that it's beautifully faithful to the source material. I think, Joe, you said it's respectful. For me, it didn't matter that the entire story didn't make total sense because it was just like spending time with old friends. And you don't judge what you talk about when you're with old friends. You're just thankful for the nostalgia. So I love this movie.
Yeah, I think it's a slippery slope, right? Because the analogy is where, you know, Lucy always has the ball and asks Charlie Brown to kick. And every time Charlie Brown thinks this is the one time he will get to kick it, and she always pulls it off. So in a way, Charlie Brown is never celebrated. He's always the one that is laughed at. But this kind of movie kind of makes him a hero. And I almost resent that because Charlie Brown will not be Charlie Brown if he's celebrated. All his insecurities will go away if people say, Charlie Brown, you're the best. And so that's what I mean by there was a little bit of a commercial tone to it where to put a story around it and an arc around it, it kind of ended with, you know, yay, Charlie Brown, you did this when you could have done that, which I know is necessary because how else would we know the goodness? You know, he has such a pure heart, but I wish it was a little bit more subtle in conveying that. But I do agree that it's very difficult to introduce all of these characters because each of these characters has an arc. You know, Peppermint Patty has an arc, and, you know, Schroeder has an arc, and Lucy has an arc, and all of them, and to bring all their stories and make them all fit is kind of difficult. And the Red Baron, I mean, if you have, you know, if you're familiar with it, it's great, but if you're not, then it's like, what the hell's going on? Like your reaction. And it's interesting, I didn't even realize this, somebody had mentioned it to me. It's shot very carefully in all those scenes with the Red Baron. Was it you who was telling me? You never actually see the ground. So when Snoopy's on his little kennel and flying around, you never see the kennel on the ground. And the point is, this is all in Snoopy's head. So if it's actually flying, then it's really happening, but it's not. So it's very kind of carefully filmed and created. And I like the flat colors and the very realistic hair on the characters. It was visually, it was a very interesting choice.
It looked like the comic strip brought to life. I mean, I think that's, you know, even when you look at stills, every single still frame from the movie looks like it could have been hand drawn by Charles Schultz. You know, I'm here on the Rotten Tomatoes site and they've got a couple of still frames from the movie. You know, you can click on them and press play. And they look exactly right. They're very, very well-drawn characters. And they do, even the walking style,
yes.
You know, the way that the feet kind of flip back and forth, you know, that's, again, it's all beautiful to look at.
I mean, and it's so true to its time, right? I mean, there would have been a temptation to maybe give the kids iPhones or iPads or, you know, Apple computers or something that was of our time now. And they resisted that temptation. And I loved seeing the typewriters and the phones and everything about it was just beautifully done. And I think the issue of that mixed media, I don't know if you guys noticed. First of all, the 3D was impeccable. I love the 3D. And then the other thing I loved was there was pen work, a lot of pen work and drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more with the Snoopy scenes than anything else. just adorable.
It reminded me of that movie, a short film, Paper Man,
yes.
a couple of years ago, which yes. was, I think it was Oscar nominated, maybe.
It was.
Last
year, yeah.
But that was a beautiful little short, and that visual style where it feels hand-drawn, but yet it's 3D, is what came across.
I don't know if the 3D was necessary. It just seemed a little bit out of the blue to do an animated movie 3D, although it's been done all the time, and they made a big deal about it, but yeah.
It was immersive. I wouldn't say you have to watch this in 3D, but it was just very vivid and bright and energetic and so uplifting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think to introduce a whole new world of, you know, people of the current generation, nobody knows about the Peanuts, to introduce them to these characters and make them stick is no small task.
Yeah. Okay. So, Joe, sum up and score.
Again, you know, with all the caveats that I'm probably not, you know, of the fan club, I kind of viewed it cold in many ways. So, with that said, compared to other animations that we've seen this year, you know, including the fabulous Inside Out, this movie just comes across as just a little flat. I think there's a lot here for the younger kids. I think they all had kind of a fun time because there is some slapstick humor in here and lots for them to latch on to. I always, perhaps give kids too little credit when it comes to, you know, working with sophisticated plot lines. But, that you know, if you have, under 10s, take them. They'll have fun. For the rest of us, you know, think about it. So I'm going to give this a stingy 6 out of 10, a visual treat. If you're a fan, you'll get a lot out of it. If you're like me, then, you know, maybe go see James Bond first.
Yes, Dean.
What can I say? I come from a very biased place like you, Rashmi. I mean, Snoopy is my spirit animal. I love Snoopy. Snoopy is who I want to be. Just endlessly happy and always wishing well. And I think everybody wants to be Snoopy while they're Charlie Brown, and I'm Charlie Brown too. So there's, you know, when I was growing up, initially I'd never understood the Peanuts comics until I did. And when I did, it was like a big revelation, and it kind of explains a lot of child psychology to me, and not to make too much out of it. So to make a movie version of it, which works at every level, at the adult level and the kid level, is quite remarkable, and to be visually so pleasing as well. 8 out of 10, and that's very, very generous. I should have given a 7, but what the hell?
It's
harmless.
Better than James Bond, right?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh,
sorry to trip you up.
Yeah, 7.5, which I'll be generous and bump up to 8.
I should hardly ever do that.
I know.
I have two words, just delightful. I mean, for me, this is somewhere between an 8 and a 9, and I actually back it down to the 8. And I think, Yazdi, I'm with you. I love Snoopy, and I would want Snoopy as my pet. But I'm definitely more of a Sally than a Charlie Brown, I think. So, yeah.
All right.
Just delightful.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to interrupt either of your summaries, but honestly, I thought Snoopy was a bit of an ass.
He is.
That's the joy of Snoopy, right?
No. He's so confident.
He's so fun. Like, he's so mischievous.
There's a couple of scenes in the movie where I thought he was incredibly mean to Charlie Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he's always looking out for Charlie Brown.
Yeah, ultimately, he loves Charlie Brown.
I just wanted to give him a slap, but yeah, definitely not my universe.
Yeah. That would be funny, actually. We should see what character would Joe be? Schroeder.
I think
you'd be a bit of a Schroeder.
Yeah.
Not that I would be like her, but I always liked her storylines in Peppermint Patty.
Oh, yeah. Sir, yes.
Sir, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's wrap up the podcast. Yes. Episode 300 again. Woohoo, yay. Thank you for listening. And
keep listening.
Keep listening, indeed. So mail@movieworldlost.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Give us some feedback. Twitter.com/movieworldlost, Facebook.com/movieworldlost as well. Until episode 301.
Too many movies,
too little time.
Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.